SOS Radio on demand.
It changed my heart.
On demand.
It changes your life.
Thanks for downloading Scott Harrell's podcast.
We're talking with Dr. Elliot Shin of Operation Hope today at SOS Radio. And oh, there's so much misinformation in the news. And half the time you wonder, is this sensationalism or is this real? You see the stressed out doctors and nurses and the hospitals on overload. And then you also hear about some other hospitals. Like my wife works at a hospital here in Southern Nevada, and she's been called off work because they haven't needed her the last couple of weeks. And so it's been really interesting because you wonder, like, where is everything? And then we see the governor talking about the needs for all the personal protection equipment. I thought I'd invite our friend Dr. Shin on to talk about all that today. What are you seeing? You're working in our hospitals. You run the Operation Hope Clinic, which is not exactly a free medical clinic, but it's a clinic for low-income people in Southern Nevada, and you challenge people to pay it forward.
Yeah, so we do our clinic, our Hope Clinic, does treat patients who are either homeless or uninsured individuals who can't afford to see a physician and who don't have any way to access health care. And we've been doing that for about 10 years now, and we treated over about 16 to 17,000 people, we estimate. As you said, we don't call ourselves a free clinic because when something is free, people take advantage of that and abuse it a lot of times. So we instead ask people to not actually ask. We initially asked people, but nobody did it. So we made it a requirement for them to pay it forward, meaning not paying it back to us, but paying it forward. So we don't charge them any money, but we charge them three acts of kindness to three people. And they have to write us a letter about that experience, and that letter is their ticket back. However, unfortunately, because of the coronavirus situation, we had to temporarily suspend our services as well because it was becoming unsafe for our volunteers and our patients alike. So we wouldn't have been able to help anybody with coronavirus situation if they were having late stage symptoms. We would have directed them to the hospital anyways. So it was the right decision for us to temporarily hold off on our services until the situation calms down. But as far as what's happening with the coronavirus is that when you talked about your wife being called off from work, that is happening depending on what kind of practice that you're working at. So I know that urgent cares, there have been a sharp drop in patients seeking care at urgent cares. And then perhaps more so at the emergency rooms. But it also depends on the location of your hospital. Like, for example, if you're in the epicenter, like in places like in New York, you'll be in high demand. So kind of disproportionate depending on which location you're at. And I believe that the worst, unfortunately, is yet to come. And it's coming very quickly, though. And I think when that happens, our hospitals will be overwhelmed, I think. And now is the right time to continue to increase our personal protective equipment and ventilators, N95 masks, even hazmat suit type of personal protective equipment. And also, I would ask as our governor, I don't know if he already has or if he's considering it, because he had put out an edict, I think, last week, not too long ago, in fact, to put a restriction on prohibiting doctors from prescribing these antimalarial and therapies that look very promising according to limited data that we do have, but it's not just one or two cases. These are hundreds of cases which showed very promising results, people getting better after only 5 days of treatment and viral load going down. And it's unfortunate that our hands are being tied to treat these conditions, and we don't have a vaccine. We don't have any other way to curb this and to prohibit treatment, promising treatment. I understand the rationale behind it, though. I understand the governor's reason, so that he was trying to make sure that people don't hoard it. Not only that, you know, the people that are being treated with those medications, this antimalarial drug, hydroxychloroquine, is not just a malaria drug, but it's used for other autoimmune disorders like rheumatoid arthritis and such, and lupus. And so he didn't want these patients that need this medication to not have it run out. So kind of like the toilet paper phenomena that we've been seeing. And so he put a moratorium on that. But the solution, I think, is not to restrict those usages, but to increase the supply of it. And I think that's going to be the solution, because then you're making the situation worse. Because if you have a very promising, effective treatment, then you should use it. Otherwise, you're not helping the situation. So I would ask the governor to seriously reconsider this. And I know the Michigan governor has reversed her position on this just yesterday, I think, because of the data that's coming forward, more and more data showing that this is effective when used in combination with an antibody called azithromycin. And so, and these drugs are already FDA approved for other uses, so the safety is not so much in question. These medications are used very widely. I have taken it when I went overseas on medical mission trips. So it's a well-tolerated medication, and if it's effective, why not do it? Why not treat it and then prevent transmission this way? And I think this is a great way to perhaps quell the fire, if you will.
We're talking with Dr. Elliot Shin today of Operation Hope on SWS Radio. He leads Operation Hope in Las Vegas, and it's a medical clinic where he challenges you to pay it forward in order to pay back to society. But I'll tell you what, there's a lot of strange information that's coming from both ends of the pendulum right now. There's obviously the people that are saying, hey, everything we need to do is freak out. We're not doing enough. There's not enough supplies on one side, to people that sort of get into the conspiracy theory model. But Dr. Shin, you work in the clinics and you're dealing with patients every day that come in with cold or flu or COVID-19. And you've worked overseas too. Where do you see a balance in all of the things that we're hearing?
Yeah, well, early on in this crisis, we had limited information, right? Because it was a brand new virus, and people, including my colleagues who were physicians and nurses, I kind of cringed at what they were putting out, because almost everybody, including our politicians, were saying, oh, this is nothing more than a flu. Flu has killed more people. And they were minimizing the seriousness of this. And so as a result, people didn't take it seriously. And at that time, I already knew through my own research that this was not just the flu. And then as the time went on, people realized that this is actually not the flu. And we actually have the numbers to prove that. If you want to compare it to the flu, much more contagious. It's about 2 to 3 times more contagious. The lethality is about 10 times more. And so this is not the flu. And in fact, the flu, you get over it pretty easily. I mean, it's not fun when you have the flu, but you'll get over it. Chances are you won't die from it, or you just have a short period where you'll be out, but you recover most of the time. And for this coronavirus, you get a pneumonia, because the virus, they did a DNA sequencing on this virus. It has predilection for ACE receptor, which is in the respiratory tract and elsewhere. So it first attacks the lung parenchyma and causes pneumonia. And so this is not the flu. This is a virus. This is a virus that's in the same class as some of these influenza type of virus families, but it doesn't result in the same kind of thing like the flu or the cold. It results in a fulminant catastrophic pneumonia, and the lethality is 10 times worse. And they always talk about people, the elderly and the young and the immunocompromised and people with medically underlying conditions being at more risk, which is also true, but that's for all the other illnesses too. When people say that, you're almost trying to make it sound like other people are not at risk, but that is not the case. And people, we have had many people in the 20s and 30s who've had the same thing. And in fact, I saw last week emergency department physician in Italy describing a situation where his entire department is filled up with 20s and 30-somethings on ventilators. And so I don't want to stoke fears. I don't want to cause more panic. But at the same time, you have to know the truth so you can protect your family and people around you. As the scripture says, you shall know the truth and truth shall set you free. So you have to know the truth. And the truth is that everybody's at risk. And this is a very highly contagious and lethal virus. You should take measures to prevent it as much as you can. And also, early on, we were told that wearing masks are not going to protect you. This is not true. This is not true at all. This is more of a cultural thing than a medical fact. Because if you're going to say, don't wear a mask because the healthcare workers need it, okay, then that's fine. And we want our first line responders and doctors and nurses to be protected. And if hoarding the mask will result in that, let's not do that. That's a fair statement to say. But to use that as an excuse for the public not to protect themselves is not good, because then everybody thinks that, well, it doesn't protect me anyways, and they're not going to use it, period. And this is not good. We're, you know, maybe I've seen people who are making homemade masks now because they realize that the Asian countries are much better protected, because it's a little bit of a cultural thing. In the Orient, in Asian countries, whenever you have a viral upper respiratory infection or anything like that, they always wear masks out of consideration for other people, so that they don't infect others. And so very, very widely accepted that it's okay to wear a mask in the public. What's wrong with that, you know? And it actually identifies who's sick so that you can be more cautious around them, you know? And so it's a good thing. And so I know in South Korea, the government has issued N95, not just regular masks, but N95 hospital-grade masks to all their citizens. So everybody's wearing it. And so that's an amazing thing. And we can do that. We have the resources to do it. Why not convert all our factories into it like a wartime thing? And I know that President has partnered with a lot of these private companies, and they're actually volunteering to do so. And we need to do more of that. We need to have all hands on deck approach where N95 masks are mass produced and distributed freely to everybody. We need to do that. And I heard during the White House briefing that they fast-tracked a sterilization device for these masks so they can be reused up to 20 times. And that's a great thing, you know. And so we need to do all of this kind of stuff. For the healthcare workers, they're getting infected. It's not going to be good if we lose our doctors and nurses to this. And they are dying because of this. It's a shame. We're the strongest country in the world, but we have these pictures coming out of nurses wearing garbage bags over them as a personal protective equipment. What a shame that we have the richest town in the world, premier town with tourism and all this, and we have a parking lot filled with homeless people, and they're not even housing them or giving them tents or nothing like that. It's just the parking lot, empty parking lot with tapes so that they do this social distancing thing. But what a shame, right? We're the greatest country in the world, as I say, but we are not doing things that is compassionate and wise and things that needs to be done. But, you know, easy to criticize, right? It's not about criticism, but about solutions. So the solution is increase the production and treat others with compassion. This is what we need to do. This is what Christ would have us do. So there were a lot of misinformation out there. I was out at Costco the other day, a couple days ago, and I had my mask and my gloves out there. And I thought, I was a little bit afraid, actually, because you know, some of the anti-Asian sentiments out there over this virus. So, you know, the Asians are a little nervous when they go out in public these days, mm-hmm. and unfortunately. And so when I was out there, I was glad to see so many people with masks and homemade masks out there wearing it at Costco. I was like, wow, this is a huge turnaround. And I think this has happened because the truth getting out there. And we know that we have, in the past week, we've had the University of Washington study that proved that masks work. And there was a researcher in MIT that just released a statement or study just yesterday, I think, that shows that masks are effective. And then other physicians are jumping on the bandwagon, if you will, and promoting this. And even CDC is trying to reconsidering their official policy on masks. And so I was really glad to see that at Costco. It seems like the public has finally woken up to the truth about this fact.
There's so much confusion about what COVID-19 symptoms look like versus allergies, cold and flu and strep throat and lung conditions. We're talking with Dr. Elliot Shin of Operation Hope. He's a medical doctor. Operation Hope in Las Vegas is actually a medical clinic for low-income people and for the homeless in Southern Nevada, where the payment is actually paying it forward with good deeds. Dr. Shin, there's a lot of confusion about what COVID-19 symptoms actually are versus seasonal allergies that are rough when things are really blooming, or cold and flu where you feel like throwing up or having a lot of coughs.
Yeah, so there's a lot of similar symptoms that people can be really wary about, right? I'm glad you asked that question. Especially in this time of the year, we have pollens popping up and allergies acting up. So how do you distinguish whether what you're experiencing is COVID-19? Well, if you have usual seasonal allergies and you're having your usual symptoms, then that's what it is, you know? You don't have to be paranoid about something else because you had it before. It's exactly the way it has been for many years. Having said that, though, the typical symptoms of allergies is itchy eyes and sneezing and runny nose without fever, without body aches. So those type of symptoms, wheezing as a result and such. Now, there's some distinguishing features of COVID-19 that is somewhat unique to it. And one is loss of sense of smell and taste, or anosmia. That is very unique. So if you have that early on, chances are you have COVID-19. That's one of the most distinguishing features. You could be asymptomatic up to, they say officially 14 days, but you know what? I've heard from Asian sources that it could last even up to a month. You could be asymptomatic. You could be a carrier or have an incubation period of 14 to up to 30 days from what I'm understanding. And so this is why this virus is so dangerous, because you could be passing on to your families and friends without you even knowing for a month. That's crazy. And you could infect so many people. This is why you have to exercise extreme precautions and not get people sick and wear your mask, you know. During this incubation period, you may not have any symptoms. And then all of a sudden, you may come down with it, typically with fevers, body aches, shortness of breath, and some cough, usually in the form of a dry cough in the beginning. So those are the distinguishing features. And all the other cold symptoms, the congestion and all of that, is cold. It's a flu and these other regular things that we are used to. But if you just have the dry cough and the fever and maybe some headache and some body aches, no other symptoms, that's kind of suspicious and associated with the anosmia or the loss of smell or sense of taste, then you most likely you have the COVID-19. I can teach you how to kind of do a self-check every morning. It's really easy self-check. It takes 10 seconds to do. And that is, take a deep breath and hold it for 10 seconds. And after 10 seconds, or during it even, you feel extremely out of breath and you feel chest pain and all of this kind of stuff, like mostly chest pain with that. That is very suspicious for something going on in your lungs.
Good, good. Well, we're talking to Dr. Elliot Shin of Operation Hope today at SWS Radio. Thanks for sharing with us and taking some time.
Yes, yes. And I want to just encourage people that do not be afraid, because our God is in full control, and just trust him. This is a great time to exercise your faith and read your scripture, Book of Proverbs and Psalms every day. And God will surely, surely deliver us.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast. If you enjoy the discussion and want to help the podcast grow, you can make a $10 donation through sosradio.net or inside the SOS Radio app. Thanks for your generosity. It helps us experiment with new things and keep the discussions fresh.